Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namah. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachade Satarine. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. We're observing this morning Harinam Diksha. Which is a very unique insertion by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and in turn followed by Srila Prabhupada, in turn followed by his followers, where one is initiated into the chanting of the holy name prior to initiation into chanting of Gayatri Mantra. The process of Diksha is twofold, as a relationship is twofold. It's submission and acceptance. Submission on the part of the Shishya, the devotee, and acceptance into the disciplic succession, the family of Krishna, by the current link and by the entire line of disciplic succession going back to Krishna. In comparing, so this procedure that we're observing is part of the Pancharatrika system. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had a vision that the Pancharatrika system prepared one or qualified one to enter into the Vedic system or Vaidika system, the system in which Gayatri Mantra is given. Now within, minus the Pancharatrika system, there's a big problem. Big problem. The big problem is that in this age of Kali, persons are not qualified. They're not qualified to perform the rituals of the Vedic system, largely because the sangskaras are not observed. Just like a young Brahmin boy, there's no question of his performing religious duties without the Upanayana sangskar. There's no question. But prior to the Upanayana samskar, there's other samskaras, starting with Garbhadan samskar. And without Garbhadan samskar, without samskaras, there's no question of qualification. The samskaras help to create the qualification. They're not in and of themselves the essence, but without them, there's no qualification. And so in this age of Kali, the Vedic system is not accessible. Period. Therefore, the additional or other system, the Pancharatrika system, is essential. And that Pancharatrika system is accessible to anybody. Anybody. Anybody can chant the holy name of the Lord, regardless of their, what family they're born in, or what country they're born in, or what their prior punya or papa is. After the speaking, we'll have achman. And in that achman, there's going to be a mantra, a Vedic mantra, which says, Om apavitro pavitro va sarvavastam gatopi va yat smaret pundarikaksham Sabhaya Abhyantara Suchihi Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu. So, whether purified, pavitra, or unpurified, apavitra, or sarvavastam gatopiva, having passed through all circumstances of life, all of the above. Just one thing. Ya smaret pundarikaksham. By remembrance of the lotus-eyed personality of Godhead. Sabhaya abhyantara suchihi. One can pass beyond all states of fearfulness and become purified. Suchi. Purified, cleansed of all contamination. Whether it's the contamination of impure activity or the binding force even of punya, that also is dismissed or crossed beyond. Just by calling the name Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu. So it's a Vedic mantra pointing to the Pancharatrika system, where anyone, regardless of pavitra or apavitra or sarvavastam katopiva, you name it, etc., anyone is qualified to chant the holy name of the Lord, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, or the Hare Krishna mantra. So, on Vedic authority, very widely, the Hare Krishna mantra is being made accessible to one and all. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was such a powerful personality, supremely powerful, that he was able to induce even forest wild animals to chant and dance in ecstasy of love of God. There's a wonderful pastime described in Chaitanya Bhagavat where the devotees were having kirtan at the house of Srivas Thakur. So all the brahmanas of Navadvipa would come together. At night, they would have kirtan. And the gate was locked. So those that are unqualified wouldn't come in and disturb. So those that were unqualified and outside, they were envious. They wanted to be inside, but they were outside because they weren't qualified. So what do envious people do? One of the things that they do is they started a rumor. Psst, psst, psst. Psst, psst, psst. I learned that in India. This means telling a rumor. Psst, psst, psst. So one of the rumors was someone put the articles for offering to goddess Kali at the front gate of Srivas Thakur, indicating they're doing a wild thing inside there. So when he came out in the morning, he saw and said, "Everyone come and look, just see, we're pretending. We're not really Vaishnavas. Look, look, look. We're not really worshipping Vishnu. We're having wild intoxication parties inside." And people said, "You're not doing that. And whoever has done this, they're going to get a very serious reaction." So they came and took everything away and cleaned it up. And the very person that made that offense, he contracted leprosy. Later he was forgiven in Gaura Lila. But another rumor that was being spread was the king has heard about this terrible activity, violating our religious scripture and chanting aloud God's holy name that is so sacred it's not to be uttered aloud. It's only to be uttered silently in mantra form. But these offenders, they're chanting loudly all night long. So the king is sending boatloads of soldiers to come and destroy the whole of Navadvipa And it's because of this Srivas Thakur. We should destroy his house and drive him out of Navadvip before we're finished. And this rumor was going around. The king's soldiers are coming. There were no soldiers that were coming. It was just a vicious, nasty rumor. But that rumor came to the ear of Srivas Thakur. So his heart became very heavy. And he was thinking, because of me, the whole of Navadvip is going to suffer. That was his humility. He wasn't for that reason. It wasn't even the army is coming. But he was feeling very contrite, pained in his heart. And he was feeling this way while he was worshipping his deity one morning. Now, meanwhile, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was walking along the bank of the Ganga that same morning, and he saw on the other side some cows, and they were softly mooing by the shore of the Ganga. And Mahaprabhu entered into a mood of being Krishna in Vrindavan. So he began calling for the cows and calling for Balaram. And very quickly he went to the house of Srivas Thakur right in the middle of his deity worship. The deity was off the altar and Lord Chaitanya sat right on the altar and said, "Srivas, you're in big anxiety because you're hearing this rumor that the king's soldiers are going to come and destroy the whole of Navadvip because of the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Srivas, this will not happen. I give you my solemn oath. I will personally go to the king and I will confront the king and say, take all of your pundits, all of your most elevated scholarly, learned men, and see if you can get them to induce one soul to chant the holy name of God in ecstasy. I will challenge him in that way. And they will not be able to do it. And then I'll say to the king, I will go into the forest and bring elephants and tigers and bring them before you here in the court and get them to chant ecstatically the holy name of the Lord. And they will chant ecstatically. Srivas, don't think it's not true. I will do it. Bring your niece, Malini. Bring her here. Malini, chant an ecstatic love of God. She burst out in tears and raised her arms and started chanting ecstatic love of God. Srivas fell at Lord Chaitanya's feet, sobbing. You've taken away my doubt. I have no worry. You have the potency to bring anyone to the stage of ecstatic love of God. And who can check you? Let the kirtan continue. So the chanting of the holy name is available to anyone. If you're Lord Chaitanya, even wild animals, and Prabhupada said, we are not so powerful. At least human beings. We should try to induce them, encourage them to chant the holy name. Because from chanting this holy name, all purification can take place at once. And as one continues in this process of chanting the holy name, love of God awakens. There's a very nice definition. So this is Harinam Diksha, where this Pancharatrika system to qualify persons to become formally connected to the disciplic succession. That's what Harinam Diksha is. Submission and acceptance into the disciplic line. And with that, the further continuation of chanting the holy name, to again connect one with the status of a Brahmana Vaishnava, or a Vaishnava Brahmana, where one can then receive the Gayatri Mantra and be qualified to worship the deity and speak the message of the Personality of Godhead on his behalf in a formal manner. In Hari Bhakti Vilas, it's a handbook or a manual on Vaishnava practices or rituals, and one of those rituals is what we're doing, Diksha, Harinam Diksha. There's a nice mantra, it's quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita in reference to Lord Chaitanya's instructions about chanting of the holy name and the necessity of, or the significance of, initiation. The mantra, or the verse, indicates two things that take place at the time of initiation. Divyam Gyanam Tato Dadyat Kuryat Papasya Sangshaya Tasmat Diksheti Sa Proktas Deshikais Tat Pakovidai. So these two things, Divyam Gyanam Yato Dadyat. Divyam Gyanam is transcendental knowledge. Divyam Gyanam. Transcendental knowledge is awakened from within. Just like if you have an electronic device, or let's say a light bulb, and there's electrical current but the switch isn't on, and you turn the switch on, so the light bulb comes on. The potential of the light bulb is there, but it needs electricity, and then the light bulb comes on. Not exactly the same, but somewhat similar. Every living entity, as spirit soul, has a relationship with Krishna and has a potential of their conscious awareness of that relationship with Krishna. So, Diksha is making that, you know, connecting your electrical circuitry and turn the switch on. And Divyam Gyanam Yato Dadyat, it awakens from within. That's the one of the two things mentioned in this verse. And Kuryat Papasya Sangshaya, Sangshaya, without a doubt, beyond doubt, the papa, the sinful, the covering of the soul, the conditioning of the soul, the potential is there, the potency is there to completely remove all past sins. So we say this at the time of initiation, the sins, the previous worldly entanglement of the devotee who is submitting unto the disciplic succession and being accepted, they're released from all of their sinful bondage. Of course, the chanting of the holy name even before initiation has that potency, but this formalizes by the submission and the acceptance. Kuryat papasya sangshaya. Tasmat diksheti. So, diksha is understood, therefore, by learned personalities. Deshikais tatvakovidai. Learned kavis speak in this way. So that's what we're doing, this Harinam Diksha. The activities prior to Diksha is preparation. And this is the formalization of that preparation, now submission, now acceptance. And once accepted by Krishna as a member of his line in disciplic succession, Krishna doesn't let us go. We may turn our back on Him. Something like Prabhupada gives this example of a father and a child. He says father and a son. The son may go away from home and forget the father, but the father never forgets the son, even if the son goes away from home. And the father is always eager to see the son come and be with the father again, even if he doesn't come. But if he does come, the father is very happy. So, like that, the initiation, Krishna is accepting, the cyclic succession, accepting one as part of Krishna's family. It's an opportunity to go further and further and further. It's the very word that Prabhupada chose to translate diksha as initiation is significant. Initiation means to begin. Like when you initiate a journey or initiate a project or something, it's a beginning. So it's a beginning of a long journey. Or the previous journey is just to get to the beginning. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Bhai Bhakti Lata Beej. Mahaprabhu described the living entity is wandering and wandering and wandering in all the different species of life, up and down, finally coming to this human form of life, finally coming to the position in this human form of life where one, by the mercy of both Krishna and the spiritual master, there awakens within them this dormant tendency for bhakti. And through the practice of sadhana bhakti, coming to the stage of initiation. There's more to come. The best is yet to come. But through continuing very carefully to perform the chanting of the holy name and the vidhis of vidhi sadhana bhakti, then further purification and further stages of awakening of bhakti will follow. So, traditionally, Prabhupada would speak about the 10 offenses because it's not just chanting of the holy name, but also very carefully guarding against the offenses against the chanting of the holy name so that one can get the full effect. Love of God, or realizing one's relationship, loving relationship with Krishna. And these 10 offenses are described in all of Prabhupada's literatures. Nectar Devotion gives very clear delineation. So one of the things that both of you should attempt to do is, with guidance, study very carefully the four bhakti shastras and become a little experienced in what the message of those devotional teachings are. Bhagavad Gita, Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction, Sri Isha Upanishad. Try to receive that understanding, and it will help you to improve the quality of your chanting and the quality of your devotion overall. I'll say something a little further when it comes time for giving the name. Vandana, why don't you come? I'll go quickly. Quickly. You have to translate. She'll chant how many rounds each day on her beats? Okay. The four rules that she'll follow? Okay. Your initiated name is Vrajabasi Dasi. You can go sit down because we want to finish quickly. Kamlesh, come. She's chanting 32 rounds a day, but she's going to bow for 16 rounds. 16 rounds. How many rounds you'll chant every day in your beads? Minimum? Every day you'll chant how many rounds minimum? No, 16. You're chanting 32, but minimum you'll chant 16. Okay. Early in the morning, right. And the four rules that you'll follow? Which are they? Name them, one by one. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Your initiated name is Karuna Mayi Dasi. You've taken a vow before the deity. That means you must keep it. That's why 16 minimum, not 32. Okay, come sit down. Come sit down. Both of these devotees became devotees because their children became devotees. And by their children becoming devotees, they liked what they saw. Their children were becoming very happy and of very nice qualities, and keeping the company of others with very nice qualities, and that inspired them to take up chanting. And now there's no stopping them. 32 rounds every day. And Vrajabasi, despite a very serious health challenge, has been getting a lot of strength from devotee association and from chanting of the holy name. Yes? So it's very wonderful. At a later stage of life, to take up something new, not easy. So to your credit, both of you. And to your children. Credit to your children as well. Okay. Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan Ki Jai.